Good morning. You're listening to Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Chuck Hinman on this month's Artscape Podcasting. If you're experiencing a sudden frisson of familiar anticipation right now, then you are a full-fledged inhabitant of the podcast world. We're listening to the main theme to the podcast Serial. From the producers of This American Life, Serial is reporter Sarah Koenig's episodic investigation of what may or may not be a miscarriage of justice. It debuted in October of 2014 and went on to become, as described in the Wall Street Journal, a global phenomenon. Podcasting had hit the big time. So what is a podcast? Basically, it's like a radio program that you can download and hear anytime on your phone or computer. And there are thousands of podcasts out there. Some reach millions, like Serial, some just a handful of listeners. Podcaster Nate DiMeo, based in Los Angeles but with deep roots in Providence, reaches a number somewhere in between with his show, The Memory Palace.
For several years, from the late 1930s through the end of World War II, my grandfather ran a nightclub on the banks of the Patuxent River. It started out as the Hi-Ho and was eventually rebranded the Club Baghdad, complete with an oasis painted on the wall. They did a full review. Crooners, comedians, mid-sized big bands, showgirls, national touring acts, second-tier mob bosses. My grandfather was the MC.
Each episode of The Memory Palace takes a journey into the past, often with a personal story like this one about DiMeo's grandparents.
One night, a few of the dancers got the flu, and my grandfather called a talent agency up in Boston for some fill-in showgirls. One of them turned out to be my grandmother.
I reached DiMeo by phone at his home in Los Angeles and asked him about his roots in Providence.
I grew up in Providence. My folks are from Providence, and then I returned to spend my 20s in Providence. As Rhode Islanders know, there is a real sort of Rhode Island chauvinism that develops when you are from there. But moreover, in a very real way, I find that what I do with the Memory Palace and the types of historical stories I tell is sort of very explicitly informed by my time in Providence. So Providence as a sort of providence of the soul kind of stays with me even as I live and work out here in L.A.
Now, you were back here not too long ago. You had a show at the Columbus, correct?
Yeah. You know, not only was it sort of nice, you know, in a kind of like, you know, local boy does good kind of way to kind of, you know, return. There really was this kind of lovely thing in particular with it being the Columbus. You know, the Columbus was my grandfather's, you know, hometown movie theater when he was a kid. And then it was both of my parents who, you know, I always sort of had this kind of running joke that they kind of grew up on opposite sides of the wrong side of the tracks. My dad grew up, you know, in sort of a cold water flat off Atwells. And my mom grew up in sort of a working class tenement, but at least there was running water off Broadway. And, you know, he went to Mount Pleasant, she went to Classical, but they would, you know, without ever meeting each other, they would often be at what was then called the Uptown, which is now the Columbus up there on Broadway on a Sunday afternoon.
And they did not know each other at the time, but they figured out later that they were both there at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. They met week one, freshman year at Rhode Island College in Italian One.
The podcasts of yours that I've listened to all have that historic theme, like you pick something that happened in the past and kind of examine it. Is that pretty much your template for it?
Yeah, absolutely. I just really wanted to find a way to tell, you know, stories of the past that for, you know, nearly all my life is, you know, it really always moved me. You know, in the beginning, it might have been a little bit like, hey, the 4th of July is coming up. Is there some story about a founding father I can do? But honestly, as I was doing it and as I was getting an audience, I decided to start treating it like an art project. So as such, it's a pretty idiosyncratic show. It is me sifting through the past in a way and trying to find things that move me, and then trying to find the words through the writing and the intonation in my voice and the music to go with it that can hopefully move the listener.
In the story about his grandparents, DiMeo describes living in their old house on the west side of Providence and searching for relics of family history.
There was one artifact they all wanted more than any other. The holy grail of family objects was a record. They said the Club Baghdad had a record pressing machine. It was a small device that would actually carve a recording onto an acetate disc. they had this promotion for a while at the club where you could pay a buck and then sing with the band and take the record home, like karaoke or something. So somewhere in the house, they all swore, was a recording of the floor show at the Baghdad. If I could find it, they could hear the Club Baghdad, hear Dad sing, hear the comedy bits he'd written, hear him introduce the showgirls, picture their mother high-kicking in the middle of the lawn. I just had to keep digging.
I asked DeMeo how he got into podcasting.
I started in public radio right there in Rhode Island at what used to be WRNI, there at the the studios down at Union Station. And I just fell in love with these stories and fell in love with these things I was hearing on This American Life or on All Things Considered in the afternoon. And, at the time, suddenly there's this new technology podcasting, which would allow me to tell the kinds of stories I wanted to in the way that I wanted to do it. And I've really been doing it ever since, which at this point first one came out at the very end of 2008. The business of podcasting has changed dramatically. You know, I went from it being sort of a labor of love, which had like a pretty big audience that I could find no way to monetize, to, you know, after the sort of serial boom, you know, being able to make a full-time living doing it.
So do you have any advice for someone who wants to start podcasting?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, every once in a while, someone will come up to me after a show or they'll hear what I do and they'll say, hey, I want a podcast and I have this great idea. And they'll go in this long explanation about the idea and I can kind of see where they're going. And occasionally the idea is wonderful and occasionally it's the worst idea I've ever heard. But the thing that I can always say to either of those people is the thing I really believe, which is that to become a podcaster, start a podcast. It's not an expensive thing to do. Like a couple of YouTube videos and a couple of programs you can download for free on your computer. It's not a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do well, but try. just go out, do your thing and podcast.
In DeMeo's podcast about his grandparents, his search through the family relics looking for that special record takes a bittersweet turn.
I didn't find the record. I don't know if it ever existed. And so the sound of a night at the Club Baghdad is lost to history. And that is just the way these things go. But on the last day, literally on the last day that I lived in the house before I packed up my Saturn and drove out to L.A. and before my family sold the house.
We've been listening to Nate DeMeo's podcast called Origin Stories on his podcast website, The Memory Palace. That's where you can find out what happened on that last day in his grandparents' house in Providence. Or look for the link to it on our website, ripr.org. I'm Chuck Hinman, Rhode Island Public Radio.